for the gift of this day and for the gift of the present moment. Let us be grateful and let us be open to what has never happened before. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read an article recently about a homeless man who was hungry, cold, tired, in poor health, and had no family, and appeared he had no one to love him. His situation was heartbreaking, and no one could blame him if he became bitter or angry or depressed and gave up hope. Life appeared to have dealt him a bad hand. But the article went on to say how the man makes it a point every day to go feed the birds with crumbs or food that he has gathered in the trash or that someone offers him. He shares what he has. He was asked how he felt about being homeless and said, "I have the air in my lungs and I'm grateful for everything I have been blessed with. But most important, I am grateful for three things: that I am alive, that I have the ability to love, and that I have my beloved birds." So despite his desperate circumstances, he chooses to live in gratitude and love and is still thankful to be alive. The very little he has, he shares with the birds. He offers it from his heart, and the birds give him love and joy in return. Today's gospel is the very familiar story of the widow's mites. It occurs after Jesus has come into Jerusalem and he's had several encounters with temple authorities, the scribes and the chief priests, and they continue to question his authority. There are two parts to this story today. The first, in which Jesus berates the temple leaders for their excessive habits instead of acting with justice and compassion. Long robes and best seats and the need for respect, devouring widows' houses and keeping up appearances with long public prayers. And then there's the second part in which Jesus sits down to watch the crowd coming in to put money into the temple treasury. There are large sums and then a widow with two small copper coins. And after watching all this, Jesus says, "This poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And this story is the conclusion of Jesus' teachings in the temple during the last week of his life. And he's again pointing out the paradox of the upside-down kingdom of God. Those who give a lot but ask, "What's in it for me?" contrasted with the widow who just gives away all that she has without question. Jesus doesn't condemn wealth or the generosity of those who do give a lot, but rather, I think, focuses on gratitude. The kind of gratitude that has no strings attached, no special favors, no public accolades, just a gratitude from the heart that the widow exemplifies. The same kind of first shall be last and last shall be first thing, that people should serve others and not expect to be served. And Jesus has been teaching this all along, hasn't he? But think about this story. This story continues to be told centuries later. We all remember the widow's mites. Remember our mite boxes? This poor, vulnerable widow doesn't even have a name, and she's a relatively minor character in the gospel. But her appearance in the story gives yet another clue to practicing true discipleship. She gives all she has out of her life of poverty, which is already bad enough, and Jesus notices. He wants his disciples and us to notice, too. The poor widow has become a symbol of generosity of heart and spirit, of gratitude and trust. And this ultimately leads to compassion and acts of mercy. And while we don't know what becomes of her later, her practice of gratitude is the first step to a life lived from the depths of one's heart. The first step to a life that recognizes that all comes from God and that all life is a gift. In the culture and economy of the widow's day, her 2 cents were just a drop in a very large bucket, especially where temple building and upkeep were concerned. Her 2 coins barely made any noise at all when dropped into the metal containers at the temple. But in the culture and economy of Jesus, they have made a huge impact on the kingdom of God. They were offered up by a poor widow on her last legs with a big open heart. Jesus doesn't praise the widow really for what she does, but he notices it with his open eyes and heart. Jesus notices the gratitude and love and trust of the widow's actions and wants us also to notice that she held nothing back. Practicing gratitude means that we are also invited to not hold anything back when it comes to loving God and loving others. So, as to the widow's decision to give away 100% of all she had, is she the model of stewardship or a poor retirement planner? Has she chosen unreasonable sacrifice over her very survival? Or is she a wise investor in the kingdom of God? Because most of us are not likely to give away all the money we have, and Jesus isn't saying that here anyway. And we worry, of course, about never having enough and about retirement. And if we found that we couldn't make ends meet or to feed our family, we probably would not give away what we did have left. And most of us have been taught to save up for a rainy day. And sometimes difficult choices are made and outcomes are not as we planned. But on the other hand, most of us have been taught that we do have to give of our resources, especially to help others. We have been taught about planning and giving and being good stewards of God's gifts. And we do give of ourselves and our resources. But this story invites us to have an awareness of when we have enough, of when we perhaps should give some of it up, of when we should practice gratitude with open hearts and faith and trust. The story invites us to give our whole lives to God, who gave them first to us anyway, to find our own ways of sacrifice and our own ways to not hold anything back from God. Because God wants all of us, all of our hearts and our souls and our bodies and our minds, and wants us always to come down on the side of gratitude and generosity and love. And at times, we may not be satisfied with all we have, and things are not as good as we want them to be, so we become dissatisfied, and it spurs us to try harder. And so gratitude can be elusive. New York Times op-ed contributor Peter Wehner wrote, "Life without the leavening effects of gratitude has a hardening effect. Ingratitude leaves us in a state of perpetual discontent, short-tempered, rarely at peace, and rarely at rest. Stripped of gratitude, we find ourselves frustrated and fearful, impatient and on edge. And ingratitude also blinds us to the good in our midst. Beauty, the wonders of nature, the gift of friendship, and the blessings of family. People who are grateful are more able to dispense grace to others. As gratitude finds ways to express itself, the result is a more human, tender, and merciful society." And then Wehner continues to tell the story about his friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and who chose a way of joy and trust throughout his illness rather than fear and worry. And he wrote this, "Gratitude in its most remarkable manifestation is separate from our circumstances. Those who show gratitude in the midst of hardship, as their world shatters around them, have the most to teach the rest of us." And he goes on to tell how much his friends dealing with his illness had influenced his own life. So gratitude can completely change us. Whenever our grief or our fear or our anxiety or our self-focus, whenever anything keeps us from loving God and our neighbor, well, we can move into thoughts and actions of gratitude, and we can be healed and transformed. And there are studies that indicate that practicing gratitude promotes stronger immune systems, better sleep, optimism, generosity, forgiveness, compassion, and resistance to stress. And that's what Jesus wants us to know and to practice. And that's what two small coins released from a widow's clenched hand mean to us. I just attended a conference on Celtic spirituality, and it was more of a retreat grounded in prayer and spiritual practices. And on the last day of it, we gathered to talk about what we were grateful for throughout the past days of the conference. And we were to pick a gratitude and then pick a commitment to an action because of it. And there were many things to be grateful for, but I found that the prayer and the music and the chants that we did were reconnecting us to God and each other, and I was very grateful for that respite. And I, on the way home, thought about, well, you know, I really need to do more of this and to share it with others. And people have told me often about when they go through difficult circumstances, and they've started to feel a whole lot better when they actually kept a gratitude journal. And as they saw the list of things they were grateful for grow longer, it just made a whole world of difference in the way they felt. And then they started to think about ways that they could do outreach in our community and help others as well. I read this recently about learning to live a life of gratitude. To feel grateful is to allow oneself a sense of how much one is at the mercy of events. It is to accept that there may come a point in our extraordinary plans for ourselves that they have run aground, and our horizons have narrowed, and we have nothing more opulent to wonder at than the sight of a flower or a clear evening sky, or the birds like the homeless man, or coping with an illness with trust. So the question is, what are you and I grateful for today at this moment? And right now, I'd like to say that I am grateful because it's Veterans Day, and I'm grateful for the veterans who have served our country and some who have given their lives, and for those who are serving now. I'm also grateful for baptism. We're doing one at 5 o'clock. One of our teenagers is being baptized, who will also do confirmation this year. And our lists could go on and on about gratitude, but the point is to be always aware of things for which we are thankful. My brothers and sisters, we are invited, as we remember the poor widow and her two coins, to live a life that's motivated by gratitude, to live a life that's steeped in faith and trust, and to realize that in Jesus Christ, we have already received the gift of new life itself through all our days and circumstances. And we're invited to remember that it's Jesus himself that notices us and who gives us the grace each and every day to respond in joy and generosity of heart and spirit without holding back. Amen.